Today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, Sacramento's first nonstop flight to Alaska is coming this summer. Free Wi-Fi is coming to United Airlines, and we've lost some landmarks. In the Southern California fires, we have an update.
Our Smarter Traveler segment at 11:25 features five ways to travel more responsibly. Ideas to make you a smarter, more environmentally friendly traveler.
America's number one consumer advocate, Chris Elliott, joins us to discuss pets on planes. It's a touchy subject with strong feelings on both sides. Get Fluffy and Fido and have them listen in at 11:35.
Odds and ends at 11:55 include word on a gratuity increase on one cruise line and a personal thank you to our listeners for making us number one on Saturdays on KFBK.
Welcome to a great hour of travel radio designed to make you smarter and more knowledgeable the next time you hit the road. We are the Travel Guys.
On the road again.
Up everywhere, man.
Jamaica.
Seattle.
Get your kicks on Route 66.
Let's go on with the show.
Hey there, my friends. It's Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Thanks for coming along. We're here to make you a smarter traveler next time you hit the road. I want to remind you, you can find links to our special guests and so much more at TravelGuysRadio.com. Mark?
How are you, Mr. Romano?
I'm doing okay. Thinking a lot about our friends down in Southern California. And,
yeah, well,
you know, here in us in Northern California with all the fires and so forth that we've put up with for over the years, you know, it just hits close to home.
Yeah, it does. Constant references by media types of to the Paradise Fire. The newscaster who does his or her best in these moments, I think, is Anderson Cooper. And he was down, you know, broadcasting from in the fire a couple of days last week. So that's kind of seems to be one of his strengths. Plus, he tends to be a little bit emotional, which I think in a situation like that is the emotion of the situation is all part of it because, you know, people are literally watching their homes go up in front of them. It's almost unbelievable, and I'm sure if you're there, that would be the case too. We have a little bit of an update on some of the landmarks in the Palisades area particularly, so we can let you know what has made it so far and what has not a little bit later on in the newscast.
All right. At the top of every Travel Guys radio show, we start off by bringing you up to date on the travel news. And with today's update, go to Mark once again. Mark?
Yeah. Hey, listen, we don't, you know, we just have international to Canada and Mexico, and for Sacramento, that's a big deal. One of these days, there's going to be an international flight that goes over the pond out of this city, and that'll be big cause for celebration. But I think this is fairly close. This summer, Alaska Airlines has announced that there will be the first ever nonstop flight between Sacramento and Anchorage. So for folks who are going to visit the central part of Alaska this next summer, they will have a much easier way to get there and get home than they used to.
Well, there you go. That's good news. Of course, we do know that Southwest announced that they will be partnering with an international carrier, but right. that's probably another year before we're going to be going international with them, right?
Well, and that's Iceland Air, so it's not too likely that we're going to see Iceland Air flights from Sacramento. They're more likely to connect to Southwest flights from Baltimore and other places.
I see.
On the
so
East
you'll
Coast.
you fly on Southwest to Baltimore and then
get on an Iceland Air thing.
Okay.
But you know what's a little old lazy Sacramento? I can remember a day when I never imagined that we would have our own nonstop flights to Alaska and Hawaii and Mexico. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people used to go to San Francisco. There will be people listening to this broadcast who can remember going to San Francisco on a 19-seater on United Airlines that in the wintertime when the fog, before the climate started changing a little bit and the fog was a lot more dense here. And then, of course, they built the airport in the foggiest part of the whole valley. And so it was frequent that United had to cancel those early flights in the morning. If you got out there early enough, United would have what they called fog charters. And if you were really high on the United list, they would put you in a cab and send you with a couple of other people to San Francisco to make your connecting flight. So those days are gone. I mean, we've got 100. What does it say on here now? 165 or 170 flights from Sacramento a day. So we're in the big leagues now. We don't have to take a backseat to anyone. Hey, listen, here's a little other airport information. This doesn't matter too much probably to many of our listeners, but the airport got a historic loan. They are doing, as we've talked about on the program a little bit, a $1.3 billion Sacramento Forward capital campaign to modernize and enhance the infrastructure at the airport. And so they got a fairly big loan with the help of our two local congresspeople to help finance the walkway that's going between the two terminals so that you'll be able to easily get back and forth. And then there's going to be a walkway where the tram runs now. If you look the next time you're on the tram in Terminal B, there's a little area in between where the two tram tracks are, and that's going to be apparently the walkway, so you won't have to take the tram anymore. You'll be able to walk out there.
Well, the walk out to the tram, I don't hope I have to, but I guess that's a good idea if he breaks down. But help me out here, because you're a major traveler guy, and I'm not. Why would you need a walkway between Terminal A and Terminal B?
Tom, I'm glad you asked that question, because when they first announced that, I was like, how many people are connecting from Southwest to American?
Uh-huh.
Or vice versa. Or, you know, Southwest doesn't interline with other carriers. So really, Alaska is the only carrier that you would, you know, need to go over to the other terminal, I would think. But maybe Spirit. I don't know. But anyway, obviously, there are a lot of airport personnel who have to go back and forth between terminals.
Uh-huh.
So I'm guessing that would be a pretty major convenience for them. And also, you've got some safety factors there because you've got roadways and multiple lanes and stuff like that. So I think what they're trying to do is just make it easier for the public. There's the walkway to go out to the terminal. You can always take the shuttle, as you point out. Shuttle breaks down. Now at least you have a way to get out there. And, you know, heck, some people might, given the option, might just say, well, you know, it's a three-minute walk. I'll walk.
There
you
go.
As opposed to riding the shuttle.
Yeah.
United Airlines is rolling out Elon Musk's Starlink Wi-Fi on commercial flights this spring. Wi-Fi on United has been a nightmare for the last couple, 3 years. It rarely works well. It costs $8 a flight. Doesn't matter how many times you've flown with United Airlines, we want to see your $8. And usually you might as well just take the $8 into the plane's lavatory and pull the handle, because that's about what's going to happen. United has teamed up with Starlink Wi-Fi, and it is going to be on some planes as early as this spring, and it will be free.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great. So, Starlink is all those satellites, and you use those satellites to connect cell phones too then.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you're going to be able to, yes, the cacophony on United planes may go up a little bit, because it's going to be easier for people to do goofy. I don't know about cell phone calls, though, Tom.
Just internet, maybe.
Yeah, just internet. Yeah. I will ask that question, though, next time I'm out there. All right. If you have a travel credit with an airline that you think is about to expire, you might want to check on it and look again. The Federal Aviation Administration Reauthorization Act of 2024, some of the consumer advantages that have come here towards the end of the Biden run in the White House, and this one basically changes the rules to mean that any flight voucher given to passengers for significantly delayed or canceled flights must be redeemable for at least 5 years before it expires. So airlines are sending out notices. I got one from Delta the other day. I have a $37 credit or something from a ticket that I exchanged, saying that, you know, your credit, which was due to expire in June, now will expire in 2027 or something like that.
Wow, okay.
So if you're a person who has canceled a flight in the last year or two and you've got a voucher, it's got an expiration date on it, it should be good for longer. So you might want to double back and check with your airline. The fires in Los Angeles have been horrible. We've lost a couple of landmarks down there. A restaurant called Moonshadows, which was in Malibu, I've taken to groups before, has famous for their ocean views, completely gone. The Will Rogers Historic Ranch House. Will Rogers State Park is down there, and Will Rogers at one time owned almost all of the property between this ranch house, which has been destroyed, and the ocean. So almost all of Pacific Palisades that has burned was at one point in time property of Mr. Will Rogers. And now, of course, it's all been built up and things of that sort. But Will Rogers State Park, which is up in the hills there above Palisades, has been destroyed. The Getty Villa, which is down on the coastline there, kind of in the Malibu Palisades area, it's still safe. There have been several fires on the property, but the Getty structures are unaffected. And those things are really well built. So it would really take something to bring those down. There are a lot of concrete. And so anyway, the Getty Villa, if you look on a map, everything around it has all burned. But the Getty Villa is still there. And the Hollywood sign, which Wednesday night there was a newscast that said, you know, the Hollywood sign is on fire. And that was not the case. The Hollywood sign is actually a little bit away from where the fires are currently. And the old historic Hollywood sign is still safe. So that is definitely good news. Let's see here. What else have we got? I have word about a special event that's coming up here in Mendocino. This encompasses 2 weekends, January the 24th to February the 2nd. Mendocino County's annual Seafood and Sips. There's a crab cake cook-off, lobster and sparkling wine celebration, all kinds of stuff going on all over the place. Some of it's in Fort Bragg, some of it's in Hopland, some of it's in Little River. So if you're headed to that area to visit or something like that, January 24th to February the 2nd, Seafood and Sips. I don't know about you, Tom, but I'm a huge Dungeness crab fan.
Yeah, you know, early on, it was a slow start to the season, but I saw a story of people going down to the piers, really, where the boats come in and getting their crabs fresh right off the boat. So they're back, and this particular event really, really relies on it. I'm familiar with it. There's been a couple of years where they hardly was anything crab-wise to enjoy. Yeah. So I'm ready, and this is Dungeness crab season.
It is Dungeness crab season. I think one of our favorite restaurants has something like that on the menu. We'll talk about it in a minute here. Anyway, closing the travel news, here is something really kind of cool. A dinosaur highway from 166 million years ago was unearthed in England. Literally, they found footprints of dinosaurs, and it looks like an intersection. You can look at this online and see where, you know, the dinosaurs went through. There were no traffic lights or anything like that, but they were going in different directions. Yeah, kind of cool story. Listen, there are I've just put a ton of links at travelguysradio.com this week. So if you want to go down a rabbit hole instead of doing it on your phone, just go to travelguysradio.com. We have put all kinds of links there that have to do with some of the damages in Southern California. There's a link there where you can – there's about 12 places you can connect if you're headed down there, or you have family down there, or you know somebody who's heading down there, to try to find out the circumstances for a particular neighborhood or something like that. So if you're traveling, if you don't have to travel to Southern California over the next couple of weeks, needless to say, this would be an excellent time to stay out of the way.
Yeah.
Anyhow, that is your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. And as we were talking about Dungeness crab and such, it reminds me that Rudy's Hideaway has been specializing in crab feeds for over 50 years. It's supplying large quantity of crabs to organizations, to fundraisers and so forth. And of course, you can always get it for your meal on a regular basis, along with the lobster and all. And, you know, 50 years, that's a long time. You know, Steve was telling me that Rudy's employees kind of outlast everybody else.
Yeah, you don't. When you go to Rudy's, you see the same people. Yeah, and how interesting. You know, restaurant people turn over at an incredible rate. The restaurant platform says 78% of a restaurant's employees will turn over within a year. I mean, that's a lot. And I'm guessing at Rudy's it's probably like 2%. I mean, you go out there are people who were there when the restaurant was built practically. It's to me it's really special to go into some place to eat and it's somebody that you recognize, they recognize you, you sit down, you feel kind of like family, you know you're going to get treated well. That's the way it is at Rudy's. If you've never been out there before, these are people who do things the old-fashioned way, and yeah. It's really a classic place. Classic, that would be the word I would use. A classic and wonderful place to eat.
Absolutely. And, you know, a sign of a good restaurant is kind of the chef. And how long has the chef been there? And uh-huh. Christina, who's a great gal, she's been with Rudy's for 25 years. And wow. And Mr. G, he's been there 17. And, you know, the average employee, about 12. So anyway, you make friends, you have good food, and you tell stories like we do. Don't forget, tell them the Travel Guy sent you. Ask for the Travel Guy special. Six-ounce lobster tail with the fixins. That's right off Highway 50 and Hazel. Okay? All righty. So, okay, Mark, you got it's list time. I love your lists.
Yeah,
especially when they're responsible lists.
Well, and we do the Smarter Traveler segment. Sometimes we have some really, you know, big news to share. In this case, this is kind of more, what an individual traveler might look at and say, these are just some ways to travel more responsibly. We've talked about on this program how some destinations are really having troubles with large numbers of visitors during peak season. So these are just some ideas, some things that you might think of. First one here is, don't make sustainable tourism an afterthought. Sustainable tourism, in other words, you left the place in at least as good a shape as you found it.
Right.
So this particularly applies to people who do a lot of outdoor, who go camping and fishing and things of that sort. And it's important when you're out in those, you know, I was a Boy Scout. We were taught, you know, if you brought it here, you take it with you. Or if it's food scraps or something, you bury it a foot in the ground or something to that effect. So think about your destination, especially if you're going to someplace like islands or something like that, that, you know, the folks who live there have to sustain after you're gone. It's nice that you left your money, but it would be even nicer if you left the place in working condition when you left. Consider going off the beaten path or off the beaten season. You know, as more and more places have huge crowds during peak seasons, why not go? We take at Sports Leisure Vacations, we take a group of folks to Yellowstone in the winter every year. And we take, Scott Angeletti takes a group up to Alaska to see the Northern Lights. And so those folks go, yeah, it's a little colder. You got to bundle up. And there are some, you know, there's some other minor disadvantages, but you don't have all of those crowds that you have to face. So, and you get to see things that other folks perhaps don't get to see. Going to a place like Yellowstone where there's a lot of wildlife, the fewer people, the more wildlife.
Wow, what a concept.
Yeah. So something to think about. Focus on local as much as possible. You know, we were just talking about Rudy's Hideaway, one of our favorite local places. When you travel, you're looking for Rudy's Hideaway. That's what you want to find. You want to find the cool place that you can come home and brag to your friends who have been to the same destination as you have a dozen times, and you went and you found this really cool sandwich shop or this really awesome restaurant or an old bookstore that you fell in love with or whatever it might be that's up your alley. In Seattle, there's a pinball museum that I love to visit every time I'm there, and I wouldn't even consider going to Seattle without going to the pinball museum. So that's my own personal thing, but focus on local things as much as possible because, you know, the trains will always be there, but the local people really appreciate your business, and who knows, you might make a friend along the way also. Fourth thing on our list here also kind of has to do with sustainability, nature-positive tourism experiences. So more and more people are looking for travel experiences and vacation experiences that allow them to give back to the destination that they're going to. In Hawaii, they call it malama. It is taking care of the destination, showing some love for the place that you went. If you were going to Hawaii and you were going to the island of Kauai, every Saturday they have a beach cleanup on the east side of the island. You could go out for an hour, meet a bunch of local people. It might turn out to be the highlight of your entire vacation. So those are the kinds of things that you want to dig down and look for. And finally, the last thing on this wonderful list is build connections. You know, the world has a lot of dividing challenges, Lord knows. And So travel can be the force of uniting and understanding. When you go to another country, the first thing you talk to them about may not be the politics in your country. You may ask them about how they live or what their job is like or what their city is like or something that you've heard about their area or something like that. You're making friends. Travelers, people who voted for opposite presidential candidates will hold doors open for people when they don't know who they are. So same thing applies with international travel. When you go internationally, take a positive attitude with you and make friends and make travel something that brings people together, because Lord knows there are enough things in this world that tear people apart.
Great list. By gosh, I love that. I love that. I particularly like the one in regards to when you travel to some place and you have the opportunity to be involved in a cleanup or to build mm-hmm. something or to cook something or to help people out locally. I'm a big fan of all of that.
We're going places with that sports leisure flair. A world of adventure, and we take you there.
One of the things Sports Leisure Vacations has been known for over 40 years is taking people to wonderful shows in San Francisco and other cities up and down the Central Valley. We have a trip to see Pretty Woman, the musical, on March the 5th. It's a Wednesday evening in Modesto. Includes a dinner before the performance at the Gallo Center. Pretty Woman, of course, one of the classic Broadway shows. Your package includes tickets to the show, dinner, your transportation, and back home. It's $237 round trip. March the 5th, Wednesday, is the date. You can get more information by giving us a shout at Sports Leisure Vacations at 916-361-2051. That's 916-361-2051. Pretty Woman the Musical, March the 5th in Modesto.
Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Don't forget, links to our special guests can be found at TravelGuysRadio.com. Let's see. Coming to us all the way from tomorrow, we have Chris Elliott joining us from Christchurch, New Zealand. We're going to talk on the lighter side today, sort of. We're going to talk about pets on planes, and we're not going to reference snakes. See, that was something else.
A lot of news programs can tell you what happened or what is happening. Today we have Chris, who can tell us what's going to happen, because it's already happened in New Zealand. And Chris, welcome back to the Travel Guys.
Hey, or as they say here, kia ora. How are you guys doing? Happy New Year.
Yeah, I'm only a little bit jealous. I'm not a huge international traveler, but I consider New Zealand to be one of the coolest places on the planet.
Oh, it is. It is. I mean, you know, if you've ever watched the movie The Lord of the Rings or The Hobbit, it's beautiful. They filmed it here, and it's just absolutely gorgeous.
You said you're in Christchurch. Do you have a favorite place in New Zealand?
No, I don't. Not really. I love it here. We were in Auckland for a month before this, and it was great. I mean, I really wish that I had stayed for another 2 weeks, because they're having the sailing Grand Prix there, and I would have loved to have seen that. But it's so nice. It's summertime in the Southern Hemisphere, so it's really nice. And I don't have one favorite place.
For people who have not traveled to the land down under yet of Australia and New Zealand, there is a lot to see there. Just don't make the mistake. We did this for years at Sports Leisure Vacations. We combined the two countries on a 17, 18-day trip. And the only problem with that is that there's so much to see that you can't. It would be like coming to the United States and doing Seattle, San Francisco, and Los Angeles and going home and telling people that you'd and maybe Vancouver. You know, so you could say that you'd been to Canada, but the reality would be that you really hadn't seen much of the two countries. And so now we have changed. We went to Australia last year and just did Australia, which allowed us to do the Outback and Ayers Rock and stuff. And next year we are going to go to New Zealand, just New Zealand, because I'm absolutely convinced that you can spend a couple weeks there and never see the same thing twice.
Oh, that's absolutely true. In fact, I would even go a step farther and just say, you can do the North Island and the South Island on separate trips because there's so much to see.
Wow.
You know, it's a great place for doing a road trip too. If you can get used to driving on the other side of the road, it's really so beautiful.
Don't you think the people in New Zealand are just an absolute joy to be around too? I mean,
yes, they are great. I mean, one of the things that's just so shocking is you walk into a store in Christchurch and people are friendly. They're smiling at you and they're like, where are you from? It's so different from being in some of the destinations that a lot of tourists go to where they're just like, oh, you know, they look at you and they roll their eyes, more American tourists. They're genuinely happy to see you here and very, very friendly.
Let's get to the subject, Mark.
Yeah,
you wanted to talk about an article that Chris had penned and mm-hmm. something that you're very passionate about now that you have, that's right, you don't have pets.
No.
And that is pets on
planes.
Wish
I did.
Do you?
Pets on planes, here's why you should leave yours at home. It's time for pets to stop flying. Let's ground Fido and Fluffy for good, which is not something that's going to make you popular with a segment of the audience that loves their pets to death and loves to travel with them. But let's hear your side of the story here of why you think that pets should not be on airplanes.
It's simple, really. I've never heard a dog or a cat ask to go on a trip ever. So I think that we have to respect their wishes and just leave them at home where they're happy. But in all honesty, it's become such a stressful event for pets to travel. You have these, every summer you have dogs usually dying in the cargo hold because it's too hot. They're not getting enough water. And then you also have, animals being put into very small, holders or
carry on.
These little pet containers. Mm-hmm. Yes, carriers. Exactly. They're in a cabin with maybe people who have dander allergies. It's just a very bad situation overall. And I mean, the reason people like to fly with their pets is not because they think pets can't live without them. It's because they can't live without their pets. And so the reason I wrote this column was because I thought it was time to really address that issue. Is maybe the problem is you. Maybe you can't live without your pet, and maybe you need to start dealing with that instead of dragging your poor cat or dog on vacation with you and then having that animal get stressed out and possibly even running away. You should just leave it at home and get a friend to take care of it or a family member and feed it while you're gone.
Chris, in anticipation of our interview, our office here in Sacramento is located right across the driveway from us is one of the largest veterinary hospitals in the Sacramento area. So I went over yesterday and asked if I could speak to one of the veterinarians and told them why, and they rounded up somebody for me. And I said, I'm going to be doing this story on the radio, and I just would like to know, if you had a pet, you know, what would you feel are the upsides and the downsides of taking a pet on an airplane? And the veterinarian looked right at me. It took him 2 seconds, and he said, I would never take a pet on an airplane. He said, mm-hmm. unless it were some sort of an emergency situation or something like that, I would never take a pet on an airplane. He said, it's incredibly stressful for them. It confuses the heck out of them. And he said, there's almost nothing that you can do that. And he said, the other thing is, you're not in the pet's mind. So you how could you possibly understand? So anyway, his point was that we only talked for a few minutes, but he said, I can emphasize one thing to you. He said, please tell your listeners to avoid taking their pets on airplanes if they possibly can.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, no, I'm not surprised. I would say that there are, and I did mention this in the column, that there are exceptions of people who are listening to this and who are getting upset and saying, well, what about this? Well, if you have to move, for example, across the country, it's okay to take your dog or cat along with you. And I think that there are certain exceptions for like someone like a guide dog, for example. So you don't want to have a complete ban on pets on planes. But I think that we need to really be much more selective about the animals that we're flying with.
Well, you know, my daughters have small dogs, Chihuahuas. Mark refers to them as half a dog, which I think is a little rude, Mark. A lot of Chihuahuas are very popular these days. Anyway, and when they're packing and getting ready to go, the dogs will go in there and get in the suitcase and just kind of lay there like, you're not leaving without me. You know, and the thing is this, they're not asking to go. They're asking you mm-hmm. to not go. Okay. They just want to be around you. So, you know, a lot of people will take that as a sign. Oh, you know, Ace, my dog, or whatever it may be, Fluffy, wants to travel. No, they just don't want you to travel. Or as everybody knows, cats will climb in suitcases and small boxes all the time. There was that big story less than a year ago about the cat supposedly that got into a shoebox with some boots and ended up being sent across the country by mistake.
Oh my god!
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a cat getting going through the X-ray machine at the airport, and the person saying, "Well, I didn't know that I had a cat in that bag." Cats can. I previously was owned by three cats before I started my peripatetic life, and they do climb into all kinds of things, and they can get into your luggage. I have seen it.
Chris, you penned this article on the 26th of December. On the 28th of December, I flew back home from a family Christmas visit, and across the aisle from me was a lady who had a pet carrier, and we weren't in the air for 10 minutes, and she had the dog out of the carrier and up on her lap. And we hit some turbulence about an hour into the flight. Of course, the flight attendants came on and said, fasten your seatbelts and, hang on. This is going to be a little rough for a while. The lady didn't put the dog back into the carrier. The dog didn't have any sort of leash anything. And you can probably figure this one out, what's coming here. We hit a big bump in the sky, and the dog went flying. And dog didn't appear to be hurt or anything, just flew into the middle aisle. But then the dog, of course, took off. Up and down the aisle now. So picture this. The airplane is moving up and down. We're having turbulence. The lady is in a window seat. She's trying to get out so she can go get her dog. The flight attendants are on the front and the back of the plane. They have no idea what's going on, but they know something's going on in the middle of the plane. I'm in an exit row. So we're as far from a flight attendant as we could possibly be. And indeed, the dog stayed loose on the plane for, 10 minutes at least until the turbulence stopped.
No.
And the dog's running all over the airplane and leaving, dare I say, the dog left in a couple cases remnants that he had been there. And because the dog was nervous and excited and all that stuff. So it caused a lot of stress for everybody on the plane, and probably no more didn't cause any stress for anybody more than the dog itself. So that was all. And I was just sitting there saying, gosh, lady, if you'd just left the dog in the carrier, then we wouldn't have had this problem.
That is a rule. That is a rule.
Yeah, it is. And so that was just my thought. Chris, do you have any? You said, of course, obviously, if you have to move, if you've got an emergency situation, you've got to take the pet with you. Do you have any other wisdom for pet owners here in this situation?
As I was saying before, I really think that it's important that you take a good look in the mirror and ask, why am I really going to take my pet on vacation? Is it because the pet needs to go, the pet wants to go, or is it because I want the pet to go? And a lot of times there are these emotional attachments. If you're going to just drive out to Yosemite and go camping, fine, take Fido with you. But when you're talking about going on a plane, going somewhere internationally, that's really problematic. Especially in places like Hawaii or New Zealand, where there are quarantines and the pet has to basically stay in quarantine for a couple of months. That's a real problem. You're not going to see your pet if you do that.
There you go. Before we let you go, I wanted to just get a couple of things from you about what we can expect for travel here in 2025. I mean, the planet's not going to cool off, so that sort of means the weather situation is probably going to increasingly be an issue. What do you see when you look into your crystal ball for the coming year, Chris?
You probably have read all the articles about big travel trends for 2025, and they're mostly just nonsense. People are, predicting crazy trends that don't even really apply to you, like slow travel, for example. What is that even? But really, there are a couple of things that you should focus on. First of all, travel is going to be much more unpredictable in 2025. So we have a lot of political situations that we just don't know what's going to happen. We have a new administration coming in. We have a lot of political instability abroad, especially in some tourist destinations where we just don't know what the government is going to look like in this year, or even if they're going to have a government. So be very careful about that and security. And the other thing is that it's going to be a little bit more expensive. So from what I can tell, looking at a lot of the different predictions, travel will be up anywhere from just a couple of fractions of a percentage point for airfares and hotel to about 2 to 3% for rental cars. that's really what people are mostly concerned about, is are you going to spend more money on travel? And the answer is yes, you will spend more money on travel in 2025. And then the other thing, too, is the danger. There are all sorts of different hazards. You know, we had COVID a couple of years ago. There are a couple of troubling new viruses working your way around Southeast Asia right now. I would just look at those really, at the State Department notifications, the warnings that they put out. Talk to a trusted travel advisor and make sure that the place you're going, you have all the vaccinations and that you're going to a safe place. Plan very carefully, and you should be okay.
Thank you, sir. A little bit of wisdom there from Chris Elliott, consumer advocate. If you have a travel-related consumer problem, or heaven forbid, even if it's not travel-related, you can go to Elliott.org, two L's and two T's, and share your problem there. There are people who will at least try to help you. Chris also has, if you like some of the wisdom that he shares, he has a paid blog that you can subscribe to. We do. So that you can pick up things that will make you indeed a smarter traveler. Elliott.org. Thank you, Chris, for your time today. Really appreciate it, buddy.
You're welcome.
It's Mark and Tom. We are the Travel and Entertainment Guys, as always, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Into the final segment of the program, we call it Odds and Ends because it's got a little bit of everything. But you'll go away entertained and hopefully a little smarter when you travel. All right, Mark, what's on our list of odds and ends today?
You know the other thing the odds and ends list has? All the stuff that doesn't fit anywhere else.
Okay. Works for me.
All right, let's see here. They're still trying to get into our pocket department. Royal Caribbean International last month raised its onboard gratuities. Second time within a year the rate had been raised. The bump was marginal this time, just 50 cents a person per day, starting on November 1st, compared to the $2 rate hike last year. If you're wondering what I'm talking about, if you travel on cruise ships, tipping is included in the price of your cruise. So a minimal amount of gratuity is included everywhere. You decide what's minimal and what isn't. Some people will tip additionally. And so just be careful when you're, ask questions. What am I tipping and who am I tipping and how much am I tipping and what percentage and stuff like that?
You know, cruise lines, and there are other situations where the tip is included, a large party or whatever for dinner and so forth. So they automatically write it in and you really don't have a choice. But I don't know about you, but whenever it's included, and you're at the end of the day, at the end of the meal, and like you say, on a cruise line, you're running into people all the time and they're serving you and so forth. It's really hard not to continue to tip more. So they kind of get you. We're going to make it mandatory. And then, your human nature will be tipping you even more.
So with Royal Caribbean, the daily rate is now $21 per guest. If you're in a suite, and $18.50 if you're not. Mm-hmm. Princess is $19 for suites, $18 for mini suites, $17 for all other cabins. So that's per day.
Mm-hmm.
Holland America is $19 to $17 per day. If you go in for specialty dining or spa and salon services, generally the tip options start at 20%, just the same as it is on the mainland. But anyway, it's just... prepaid gratuities, man, they just fry my butt. I just have to tell you, I'm a tour operator, and last week a motor coach company sent me a quote for $12,000 for a week-long trip in the East Coast next fall and included a $1,200 gratuity for the bus driver, 10% in it. And when I went back and said, our clients will tip the driver individually or we will tip them on behalf of our clients, and this is the first time this ever happened, they said, no, we're not going to do that.
Wow.
So
basically they're saying you pay the driver's salary.
Well, it amounted to about $185 a day gratuity, and maybe the driver is worth that, but I don't know how much more than $185 a day the driver makes, but I'm not here to pay your staff, I don't know. It fried me. Let's not go down that rabbit hole. Here is an editorial from a gentleman who wrote the Washington Post this week, and they ended up posting his story. I can't give you a link to it because it's a paid site, But he basically said to hotels who are charging resort fees, and when you tell us what the resort fee covers or the amenity fee or the destination fee or whatever weird name you've given it, please stop telling us that it includes local phone calls and use of the business center and all of these things, because we don't, most of us don't need a business center anymore, and certainly nobody needs local phone calls and free long distance and some of these things. You're just ripping us off. So why don't you just tell us we're charging you $30 and ripping you off, instead of trying to convince us that all these things that we don't need are things that we do. So I just thought that was fairly well put. Because I thought that myself from time to time.
All right,
we just have a couple minutes left here before we have to go. Something real interesting came across my desk this week. Thomas, do you know what the number one radio program is ratings-wise on KFBK every Saturday?
Well, since you shared the email with me, I do. My friends, the Travel and Entertainment Guys have the highest ratings of any program on Saturdays on KFBK. Now, we don't know how we stack up against other programs on other stations, but we are very, very flattered that that we have as many listeners as we do, and it's almost as double of what all the other shows have.
It is. It's really this is going to sound like we're bragging. And
we are.
We've been doing this for 16, 17 years, and we moved to Saturdays a couple years ago, and we're doing okay. So really and truly, without every person who can hear my voice right now, this would not be possible. Tom, you've been in radio for a long time. How many years in Sacramento, in radio in Sacramento?
In Sacramento, well, I've been in radio for well over 50 years in the total, and in Sacramento, a good three quarters of that. And wow. I have to say that I've only been number one once before.
Oh, really?
Yes, and that only lasted for 30 seconds. So you know how it is when you're, yeah, you know, like the afternoon guy. And at that time, all of my listeners were 65 plus.
Wow. Well, our ages are not that different. But yeah. I listened to you when I was younger on KCRA in the afternoons.
You used to tell me that you used to listen when your mom was taking you to school.
Home from school.
Home from
in the
school.
Afternoon, dude.
Yeah. Home so, from school
anyways,
in the afternoon.
Thanks to all of the people who have listened to our program and told other people to listen. I can't tell you what a thrill it was to get that in the mail from the station and open it up and see, wow, the trout, because we've never been on the top before. So it's just really nice. Thank you for listening, and thank you for all of the things that you do, that you contribute, the notes that you send us and the tips and stuff like that that help make this a better program. It is something that we both enjoy doing and sharing with you what we know every Saturday. So thank you.
Well, you know, of all the radio programs that that I have had, I have to say, being a part of the Travel Guys has really been the most fun. We're looking at 15 years and counting, my friends. Well, that's a wrap for today.
Thank you very much for being a part of our program today. Remember, dance like nobody's watching.
Stay well, my friends. See you next week, 11 a.m. here on the Travel Guys.